Great to have your company on Racing Pulse. Well, the big news yesterday was the announcement of the first acceptances for the spring majors, including the Caulfield Cup, the Cox Plate and the Melbourne Cup. And a lot of talk has centred around how many internationals will come out here yesterday. And we broke the news on yesterday's program, speaking to Jamie Lovett from Australian Bloodstock about the difficulties, not so much surrounding the new strict veterinary protocols, but actually getting the international horses and their staff here to Melbourne for the spring carnival. Overall, I think everyone would be pretty happy with the number of acceptances, and as expected, there has been a downturn in the internationals. But the man who can give us the clearest picture of all who may be coming is Paul Bloodworth, Racing Victoria's General Manager of International and Racing Operations. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Michael.
What was your reaction yesterday? Was it pretty much as expected from an international perspective and those first acceptances?
Yeah, I mean, the acceptances across the board for the two cups and the Cox Plate and the Guineas, I think we're within our expectations. I mean, the Melbourne Cup numbers were up on last year, but of course, because we closed the noms earlier, the acceptances are quite a way earlier than they were the previous year. So, look, they're certainly in line with where we thought they'd be. A very strong array of local talent across the three, you know, key races across the spring. You look at Very Elegant, Sir Dragonaise, Arky, Incentivise. We've got a very strong contingent of local horses this year, and it will be complemented by a smaller international component, but certainly some international competition this year.
The Melbourne Cup, six internationals, and if you look at the last few years, and there's no doubt COVID has played a major impact on the reduction of internationals on top of the new protocols that have been put in place. There were 22 in 2018 at this stage, 12 last year, and then six this year for the Lexus Melbourne Cup. The Cox Plates really only got the one international trained horse at the moment. We're going to have Gold Trip, which will change hands, and we know about that. But the Caulfield Cup's probably been the big loser. And we spoke to Jamie Lovett yesterday, and that's more to do, I think, with the COVID situation on top of the new veterinary protocols. They're not going to be able to get out here on the first plane. The question now is, will they be able to get out on the second wave? Here's a snapshot of what Jamie Lovett had to say yesterday about the issue of trying to get the staff on these flights out for the spring carnival.
You know, again, we've been trying to get these boys on a flight now for a couple of weeks, and we haven't got close. If that situation remains the same, then I guess it may well be that, yeah, it is what it is.
So it's almost... he's almost resigned to the fact that there is no control. It is going to be a luck of the draw. What's your point of view? Are we going to get internationals, or is Racing Victoria in the same boat, that it's just a wait and see that you don't really have it much control over?
Yeah, okay. So we're definitely going to have international participation this year. Jamie is right, and that his comments were probably prompted by a conversation he and I had yesterday or the day before, just in regards to the inability of David Simcock's yard to secure flights into Australia. And that's been an issue that we've been dealing with across the English trainers that wanted to come, you know, for the last sort of 4 to 6 weeks, to be honest. And it's all to do with the current caps on incoming passengers into Australia at the moment. The reality is the flights and the time the guys needed to come are basically booked out. They need to come 2 weeks before the horses arrive, of course, so that they're out of hotel quarantine when the horses arrive on the 25th of September. That's for the first shipment anyway. Joseph O'Brien does have staff in Australia in hotel quarantine at the moment. He has three staff there, so Joseph is fine. And I'm not sure as to why he was able to secure flights and everyone else wasn't, but they got lucky potentially. So he's got three staff in there. So Joseph will have state of rest for the Cox Plate on the first shipment that arrives on the 25th of September. And then, as it stands at the moment, Master of Reality and last year's Melbourne Cup winner Twilight Payment will come out on the second shipment. They're both running in the Irish St. Ledger on the weekend, so we would expect that, we'll see how they go, and all being well, they'll prepare for quarantine a few weeks later. The mother key one that, you know, there's been a lot of conversation about, Danish Mission. We've been trying, as I said, up until yesterday, basically to secure Andrew's staff member. He wanted to send one staff member to look after Spanish Mission. Been trying to secure them a flight. got to a point yesterday where Andrew needed to make a decision, and so he's made that decision, and that is that he's still going to send Spanish Mission, but he's going to secure local Australian people to look after the horse on the ground here. You know, it's not his preference, but that's what he's going to try and do. I mean, look, the horse is going to go into quarantine on Thursday, and he'll see how it goes, but as long as we can help him to secure a track rider and someone to feed and care for the horse as well, that, you know, is currently an Australian resident, he will send Spanish Mission, and he'll compete in the Caulfield Cup and the Melbourne Cup. So it's looking like
That's big news then. That is great news, because he's third favourite for the Caulfield Cup, and it sounded like he wasn't going to be able to make it. So that is really positive news for the carnival.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, it's a difficult one for Andrew. He sent Dashing Willoughby last year under similar circumstances. He couldn't, it was a little bit different, but he basically sent Dashing Willoughby down to be trained under him remotely and secured an Australian resident to ride and care for the horse. And look, I don't know whether it didn't work out that well. I think we all saw how Dashing Willoughby ran, and so he was reluctant to go down that path. But as time went on and we weren't able to secure his staff member a commercial flight into Australia, he started considering other options, and that's where we've landed, unfortunately. I mean, it's great news, as you said. It's not ideal for Andrew, but, you know, I'm hopeful that we'll be able to secure a good rider and someone to look after the horse while he's here, and hopefully he performs well in the Cups.
So just on that, what's the logistics around that? Is it, do you need a trainer to oversee that, or is it a registered stable hand? Do they get a say on who looks after it? Do you pull someone out who is attached to another stable? How does that all work?
It's a good question, Michael. To some extent, it's a bit of a job advertisement. If anyone out there has got any ideas, no. Andrew's got someone in mind to ride the horse. We just need to further those discussions. And then we just need someone to come in and feed the horse each day and you know, care for it sort of more broadly, muck out boxes, etc. Which I'm sure we'll be able to find. And, yeah, of course, they need to have horse handling skills. You know, more than likely it'll be someone that works in a stable or has previously worked in a stable, could be an ex-trainer. I'll certainly be leaning on someone like David Eustace, maybe hopefully identify someone. And David's actually going to have someone in the yard. His Gold Trip is going to be in the same yard as Spanish Mission. So I'm hoping the former English compatriots might be able to help each other out in that regard. So look, we don't have all the answers to that, Michael, at this point, but we are confident that we'll be able to work out an arrangement that's suitable to Andrew to ensure that the horse is prepared properly and gets to the races in good form.
And just before I ask you about a couple of the other spring contenders, just on Joseph O'Brien getting his stable staff into quarantine, are you going to ask how he's done that to see if it could be possible for others? Because that's the key for a lot of these internationals, and not just internationals, but interstate trainers as well. I know Annabelle Neesham is trying to get her staffed into Victoria to accompany Zaki. So is that the situation there, where it's not just overseas but interstate and Sydney competitors as well?
I mean, they're two different things. To enter Australia at the moment, you have to receive a travel exemption and a visa, both of which Joseph's staff have secured. And then the next trick is to get a flight into the country and a spot in hotel quarantine, which in this instance has proved harder than actually securing the travel exemption. I'm not exactly sure how Joseph and his travel agent have managed it when others haven't. All the other, you know, big stables, or certainly Andrew's stable and David Simcock and others that have been looking to get the flights have used, you know, very high-level travel agents to try and secure them. But I don't know if it's a peculiar thing around flights out of Ireland are more accessible than flights out of England. I'm not sure, to be honest, Michael. So it doesn't... It's kind of very separate things around the, you know, whether or not you're an international or whether you're an interstate trying to get into Victoria. My understanding is if you're a New South Wales resident and you want to enter Victoria, you need to seek a permit off the state government. Whereas the international component is a visa and a travel exemption from the federal government border force. So they're very different things. And I think the current COVID situation in both New South Wales and Victoria is probably making it problematic for interstate trainers and their staff to be able to come to Melbourne.
Do you think that's something that will remain throughout the carnival, or could there be a change there from your understanding?
Look, I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens with vaccination rates, state and federal government directions, and go from there. We certainly have had a few inquiries from interstate trainers, and we've directed them to the process whereby they apply for a permit to enter Victoria. But, you know, that's a matter for the state government to determine whether or not they feel it appropriate for those people to come in there. And as you can imagine, they're very risk averse at the moment. So we're trying to help participants where we can, but ultimately the entry into the state is a matter for the state government to determine.
Just a quick one before we head to news. The other aspect is the new veterinary tests. These six Melbourne Cup contenders and the other internationals, have they passed all those vet tests yet, or are there still more to be completed?
Well, the horses on the first shipment, which are State of Rest, Spanish Mission and Gold Trip, have all undergone their veterinary requirements and have been passed suitable to travel. On the second shipment at the moment, we have the two other horses of Joseph's, Twilight Payment and Master of Reality. Rodrigo Diaz, who's now switched to the second shipment, Away He Goes for Ismail Muhammad, and Gay and Adrian's horse, Sir Lucan, who's running in the English St. Ledger on the weekend. Most of those have undergone their veterinary requirements and have been passed suitable to travel. Sir Lucan has not. He will commence doing it post his run on the weekend. Twilight Payment and Master of Reality have just got one last thing to do that they need to provide us, but they'll do that post their run on the weekend as well. And Rodrigo D has undergone all his vet requirements and has been passed suitable to travel. So it's a little bit of a mixture, Michael, but, you know, more than half of the horses that are preparing to come have undergone and been passed their veterinary requirements, and some, because of their racing commitments, haven't started them yet, and a couple have completed most of it, but we're waiting on some, you know, final diagnostics before we can give them the green light. So look, all in all, my view has been that it's gone reasonably well this year. I mean, of course, Prince of Arran didn't pass the vet, but I was very pleased with Charlie's reaction to that. He understood the decision, and we can all fondly remember Prince of Arran's performances in Melbourne, and also Charlie being here as well, and hopefully he'll be able to bring a horse back in time. So look, it's certainly been, a challenging process, given that it was the first time we've done it, but all in all, the feedback I've had from trainers has been pretty positive, and, you know, certainly we'll be able to fine-tune things for next year.
I've got to get to the news, but one last one. Is the Ebor winner Sonny Boy Liston coming?
He stayed in the Melbourne Cup acceptances, Michael. I would say he's no better than 50-50 at this point. My understanding is, potentially, there's some tweeters trying to buy him, and should that potentially happen, then he may firm in the market for coming. But he, again, also, is my understanding, running in the Irish St. Ledger on the weekend, and I guess, depending how he goes there, a decision will be made. But they don't have a lot of time. They haven't done any of their vet requirements, so they don't have a lot of time post-Sunday to get that done. So they have to get going pretty quickly if they did decide to come. So as it stands, I would say it'd be no better than 50-50, probably less chance than that.
Appreciate the update, Paul. Paul Bloodworth, and the big news out of that, Spanish Mission definitely coming to run in a Caulfield Cup to be looked after by some Aussie conditions stable hands. We'll talk more about that after the news with Matty Stewart.